listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we learn that ghosts don't die in bed from confidential investigator Barry Craig. But first, the season puts us in the mood for A Haunted House with The Life of Riley. The Life of Riley was first heard on NBC in the summer of 1943. Chester A. Riley, radio's riveter and resident hardhack, might have been the Archie Bunker of the 1940s. William Bendix was just about perfect as Riley. The character was developed as a hard-working Joe, easily exasperated, but not easily defeated. A leaking roof, problems at the plant, or the manifestations of his kids' growing pains were enough to send Chester A. Riley into pandemonium. Through it all, wife Peg tried to remain level-headed, but even she sometimes lost her cool before the 30 minutes were up. In 1945, Riley moved to Saturday night for NBC, where it continued until 1951. The Life of Riley was virtually unscathed by the arrival of television. In fact, it made the transition quite easily, with Bendix carrying on as ever after the initial shows had featured Jackie Gleason. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with The Life of Riley and The Haunted House from October of 1944. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bones, I miss the shadow notes, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy.
He was a Brooklyn Marine. In Abroad with Two Yanks, he's Biff the Private. But tonight, he's just an overgrown kid anxiously waiting for Halloween.
I'll never forget. When I was just a boy, every Halloween, my father used to stick me in the front window. We were too poor to buy a pumpkin.
The American Meat Institute presents William Bendix in The Life of Riley. Today, Riley is engaged in the serious business of war production as a riveter in a California aircraft plant. But tonight, we see his less serious side. It's two nights before Halloween, and Riley is full of the spirit of the thing. It's quite dark out, and Riley's son, Junior, is just returning from a meeting of the Young Wildcats, his club, in a very thoughtful mood.
Is that you, Posh?
Yeah, Junior.
Oh, what are you doing hiding on the back porch?
Listen. Peek in the kitchen window and see what your mother's doing.
She's washing the supper dishes. Say, Pop, what are you doing with that false face on? You're Mickey Mouse, huh?
No, I'm not Mickey Mouse. I'm the Rat Man of Blood Bucket Castle.
Oh, at the dime store, they sell those false faces for Mickey Mouse.
Never mind. I bet your mother will think I'm the Rat Man.
Oh, you gonna play a trick on Mom?
Yeah. You see, last night we saw a horror picture about a nice, gruesome character, the Rat Man. He was a vampire. Has lunch on people's necks.
Oh, he ain't a rat. He's a bat.
Oh, well, he's very depressing. Anyway, afterwards, your mom was so scared something would pop out of a doorway at her, she walked all the way home in the middle of the street.
Mom said you made her walk out there.
No, I... I just invited her out in the street because it ain't polite to leave a lady walking on the sidewalk all alone. You watch now when I scratch at the door and she opens it up and sees me in this thing.
Okay, Pop, go ahead.
Okay, all I hope is she don't faint. Watch now.
Pop,
Yeah, that's right. Shh.
Who's there?
We got her guessing.
Well, I never. It's Mickey Mouse.
Junior. Junior, go get your father some cheese.
Sure fooled her, Pop.
Yeah. Well, they don't make these masks as good as they used to. Plus, maybe I got a very strong personality and it leaks through, probably.
Well, isn't it a little early for Halloween tricks, Roddy?
Well, it don't hurt to get a head start. Halloween's my favorite holiday. Look, Junior, there's something else I bought at the Five and Dime. You see this book? Ghost Stories.
Oh, well, thanks, Pop, but I don't want to read any ghost stories tonight.
What's the matter? You don't believe in ghosts, do you?
No, I don't believe in ghosts, but I don't want to read anything that might change my mind. Too many people think there's ghosts now.
Say, Dumper, what's the matter with him?
Well, I don't know. Ever since he came home from school today, he's been asking me if I believe in haunted houses.
What a question. With the housing shortage, as sure as it is, who's going to leave a house empty for spooks?
Well, there's one empty house up on Chestnut Hill, Riley. You know, the old Sherman place. Some people say that's haunted.
Yeah?
Mrs. Cornwell claims she saw a pale white face at the window, too.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, but Mrs. Cornwell's a great one for ghosts. She's always holding seances and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, that Cornwell kid's in Junior's club, too. I bet he's got our boy believing in ghosts. Well, I'm going to have a head-to-head talk with Junior. You see, Junior, if I tell you there's no ghost, you can take my word for it. After all, I've been your father for 13 years, ain't I?
Oh, sure, Pop. If there aren't any ghosts, what haunts haunted houses?
Listen, Junior, nothing haunts haunted houses.
Oh, yes, they do, Pop. Johnny Cornwell's mother proved the house was haunted.
How did she?
She said she saw a ghost face in the window up at the old Sherwin house. It was a horrible face, too.
Go on. Mrs. Cornwell must have seen her own reflection. Says the dame should walk into a room backwards and break her face to you slowly.
Oh, then, Pop, then she came home and held a seance. She asked if what she saw was the ghost of Alice Sherwin. And she got three raps on the table. Well, that means yes in ghost language.
Fine language. All they can do is knock. They ought to be newspaper columnists.
You better not make fun of ghosts, Pop.
Look, Junior, would you sooner believe a ghost than your old man?
No, Pop. But if the ghost said it was a ghost, it ought to know.
Okay, I can see you're a septic. Now, we'll have a seance right here to prove what Mrs. Cornwell saw wasn't that Sherwin girl's ghost. Come on, put your hands up on his table. Huh?
Gosh, Papa, are you going to ask a ghost to rap?
I'll show you. I'll put my hands on it, too, see? Okay, now I'll ask something. Are there any ghosts? No answer. No ghosts.
Nah, Pop. You have to ask for raps. Two means no. Three raps means yes.
Oh, well, okay. Two raps for no, three for yes. Now, I'll ask him again. Did Mrs. Cornwell see a ghost up at Sherwin's old haunted house?
Gosh, Pop, it said no.
See, that proves it. Mrs. Cornwell's a phony.
Again, if there are any ghosts.
Okay. Are there any ghosts? Rap two for no. See that? The ghosts themselves say there aren't any ghosts. That's bullshit.
Wait a minute, Pop. How could a ghost rap two for no if there aren't any ghosts?
Well, that's very simple. I was just kidding, Sonny. I did that rapping myself. Honest.
Well, your hands were on the table.
Yeah, but my feet weren't. Look at, I just kicked up under that table with my foot like this.
Oh, Pop. I bet you wouldn't kid around like that in a genuine haunted house like the Sherwin place.
Well, sure I would, only I can't because I ain't going there.
Would you be scared to go if you were going?
Me? No.
Oh, well, that's good, Pop. No, I ain't scared to go neither.
How do you mean?
Well, down at my club tonight, we got to talk about what we do Halloween. So we made it up we'd go find out if Sherwin's old house was haunted or if it wasn't.
Yeah. I pity any ghosts when them young wildcats get in that house.
Oh, we ain't all going inside, Pop. Just one of us got elected to go inside. The poor guy who got the short straw.
Who got it?
Well, I did.
I see. Well, Junior, you show him your nose around any ghosts in there. I'm proud of you, Junior, walking in there all alone. I think
that's... Well, I won't be all alone. I made up a rule the fellow who had to go in could take in another fella, his best friend.
Well, that's okay, too. If the guy you picked is a real friend, he'll go like a shot. Who'd you pick?
I picked you, Pop.
Well, I bet that... Hey! Look, Junior, I'm probably going to be very busy and...
Pop! You ain't scared to go, are you?
Well, no, but... The...
And you're my best friend, aren't you?
Huh? Well, yeah, I guess I am. Actually, the saying is that your mother is your best friend.
Well, I couldn't ask Mom to go. I'm sure glad you're coming with me.
Yeah, me too, Junior. Chapter 13. As Lord Twitcher stood there in the dark hall of the great lonely house, he could feel something evil in the very air. A cold wind brushed his cheek, and an icy hand seemed to touch his spine. Suddenly, he saw the thing. And then he heard a sound. A low, wailing sound. Who's that?
Well, it's only me, dear. Did I startle you?
No, I was... just reading this book here.
Oh, the ghost stories you bought Junior, huh?
Yeah. Such nonsense.
My, it is a quiet Halloween, isn't it?
Yes.
I wonder what all those boys in Junior's club are doing tonight.
I know what they're doing. They're all sitting over across from our house right now on a fence, like a row of buzzards waiting for us to come out.
Oh, are they going to the house with you?
No, they're going as far as the gate of the place to make sure we go in.
But you're not nervous about going, are you, dear? You don't believe in ghosts?
Well, no. You don't believe in them either, do you, Peg?
No. But there is something queer about that house.
Huh?
I wonder what did become of that poor Alice Sherwin.
Well, if nobody knows, I don't want to find out. What did they say happened to her?
Oh, it's an awfully sad story. She was a bride, you know, beautiful girl. Well, they were on their honeymoon in Manila. He was a captain in the Navy. She and her husband were going to come home and live in that old house. Then, well, he was lost in an air raid. Some say they were both killed together. Others say that she followed him because she didn't want to live without him. Well, anyhow, the house stands there empty, waiting for the bride and bridegroom that never came to live in it.
People ought to leave the place alone. And I'm one of the people.
Well, after you go there tonight, maybe people will stop talking and gossiping about the house, because you'll prove there's nothing there.
Yeah, maybe. And what was all that talk about seeing lights and faces around the place?
Oh, just talk, I suppose.
Yeah.
But they do say that they saw a woman's figure at the window in the attic.
Pop! Junior, what's the idea of sneaking in like that?
It's time to go, Pop.
I... Huh? Yeah, sir. Well, okay, Junior. Goodbye, Thumplin'.
Goodbye, boys.
You're dark out, isn't it, Pop?
Yeah.
Pop? That Sherwin house we're going to, it can't be really haunted, can it?
No.
But it's funny that people have seen a ghost in there.
Yeah, well, look, Junior, well, when we get in that house, you do just like I do, and you won't see no ghosts.
Oh, what are you going to do, Pop?
I'm going to keep my eyes shut.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
midnight, a very dark midnight. Even the moon is hiding on this Halloween. Riley and his son, Junior, are just approaching the rusty iron gate that guards the old Sherwin house, which is said to be haunted. Listen.
This is the gate, Pop. Let's go in.
Maybe the gate's locked, so we can't get in. See, wouldn't that be too bad?
We've got to get in, Pop. The gang's followed us all the way from town, and they're still watching.
Yeah, they trail us like sharks after a sinking ship.
Let's go in, Pop.
Okay. What's that?
Well, the gate. The hinges are all rusty.
Maybe we ought to go back to town and get some oil, huh?
Come on in the garden, Pop. Gosh, it's dark.
Yeah. Well, follow me, Junior.
Where are you?
Right behind you. Here. Give me your hand.
I see the house, Pop. The moon's coming out of a cloud.
Yeah. Junior.
Huh?
What's that over there?
Huh? I think that's your shadow, Bob.
If that's my shadow, why is it moving while I'm standing still?
Bob, it's coming this way.
And since when does a shadow make footsteps?
Good evening, Riley.
Oh, wait, Pop. It's your friend, Mr. O'Dell, the undertaker.
I don't. Oh, yeah. Oh, how are you, Digger? I never thought I'd be glad to... see an undertaker.
You're looking fine, Riley. Very natural. Tell me, what are you doing here around the old Sherwin house?
Oh, nothing, Digger. We're just having some fun on Halloween.
Ah, Halloween. I adore Halloween. It's so gay.
Digger, do you hang around this old house much?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's one of my favorite haunts.
Haunts? Listen, you don't think there's anything in there, do you?
Who knows? Sometimes as I stroll through this old garden, I feel unseen eyes follow me.
You do, huh?
Riley, you're not going inside the house?
Well, we thought we might drop in a minute. I could be talked out of it.
Take my advice, Riley. Remain outside. Enjoy the beautiful flowers. They're my favorite flowers. Lilies.
Digger, when you talk about lilies, please don't stare at my chest.
Strange how some people have no interest in horticulture. In my profession, we have a saying, you may not like flowers at first, but eventually they grow on you. By the way, Riley, how tall are you?
Well, I'm about 5 feet. Why?
I'd like to borrow your overcoat Saturday to wear at the football game.
Oh, sure.
I'll pick it up at 1 o'clock. I want to get to the game before they kick off.
Leave it open. Why? One thing, Junior, nobody will never be able to say your old man was a coward. Let's go in. Now let's go out.
Wait, Pop. We've only been in one room. We're supposed to go through the whole house.
As far as I'm concerned, this is a one-room house. Come on.
Wait, Pop.
What for?
I told a kid you didn't believe in ghosts, and I said we'd have another seance, like we did at home.
Junior, a blood relationship can only be stretched so far.
Oh, Pop, you said you'd do it in a haunted house, If we didn't hear anything, it would prove there wasn't any you-know around here.
I already proved there wasn't any you-know around here.
Well, you didn't do it right.
Well,
I found out for a seance, the medium has to be tied in a chair so it can't pull no tricks.
Well, okay, Junior. I'd be glad to let you tie me up. Only there ain't no rope. Bad.
I brought some rope, Pop.
That was swell of you, Junior. I'll remember this. Go ahead, tie me.
There. Can you move your hands or feet?
No, you tied me so tight Dan Green is sitting in. Now, stand over by the window where I can see you.
Well, here I am, Pop.
I don't see, Junior. There won't be any raps this time.
Hope you're right, Pop.
Of course I'm right. How can there be any raps when I'm tied up too tight to rap? And I also got my eye on you.
Well, go ahead, then. Ask if there's any ghosts here.
Okay, now. If there's any ghosts here, rap two times. If there ain't, don't bother. No raps.
Oh, now say, if there are any ghosts, to rap three times.
Okay, but there won't be any. If there are any ghosts, rap three times. Junior, did you do that?
I didn't. Didn't you?
Frankly, no. Junior, where are you going?
Out the window. Come on.
Don't come back. Don't tie me, Junior. I can't get this chair through that window. Junior!
Oh, Pop.
Pop.
Pop, I can't get the nuts loose. I better go get a knife. Well,
Junior,
you
don't... Don't forget to come back. I had to open my big mouth for raps, and I got raps. Fine thing, all alone in the house with a... What's that? Who's that?
What are you doing in my house?
I must be going crazy.
Why did you come here?
I wouldn't stay, lady, only I got tied up.
I will loosen the knot.
Yeah, but, well, thanks. Who are you?
I am Alice Sherwin.
Now I know I'm crazy. I'm talking to a ghost.
Oh, Pop! I'm coming!
Well, Judy!
Please, don't tell anyone I'm here. I only want to be left alone here in my house.
I got a knife and... Pop! You're untied!
Yeah. And it was the ghost that done it. Wait a minute. Her hands. They weren't no ghost's hands. Junior, you go outside and wait for me.
Oh, what are you going to do, Pop?
I'm going to have another talk with that lady ghost.
Why did you want to see me, Mr. Riley?
Well, when I figured out you wasn't the ghost, I got to thinking how lonesome you must be in this house all alone. So I thought maybe you'd like to take a stroll over to my house and meet my family.
Oh, thank you, but
if you'd rather not talk, I'll go away.
No, don't go yet. I mustn't be rude to my first guest in so long.
Oh, thanks. Must be kind of a shock when the first man you see in so long looks like I do.
Tell me about your family, Mr. Riley.
Well, my family's named Riley after me. Very nice people, too. That was my son, Junior, that was with me tonight.
It must be wonderful to have a son.
Oh, it's great. I got a daughter, too. A girl. She's 16 now. The boy's 13, but getting older all the time. And there's Peg, that's my wife. She's older than the kids, but younger than me. Say, in that picture of you over the fireplace, I guess that fellow with you, that's your husband.
Yes. That's Robert.
He's a good-looking fella. Maybe you'd rather not talk about him, though.
Violence won't bring him back.
My wife told me about what happened. Of course, she didn't know the part about your being here.
I don't want anyone to know. I want to stay here, alone, with his memory. It's the least I can do in loyalty to him.
Oh. You mean you think that's what he'd want you to do?
Of course. Does that surprise you?
Well, yes, ma'am, it does. I didn't know him, but from his picture there, I know he was a swell guy. I wouldn't think he'd want you locked up here, throwing the rest of your life away.
Do you think any man wants the wife he loves to forget him in a year or ever?
Well, no, but there's different ways of remembering.
I don't understand.
You can make his dying count for something by helping to beat the people who started this war and teaching the world that it won't pay to ever start another.
You think that I could help end this war?
Sure. Everybody can do something. The only thing a person can't do is do nothing.
Oh, I guess you think I've been very selfish, Mr. Riley.
Oh, no. No, you've been shut up in this empty house. You just didn't know what was going on. The people I can't understand are the ones who do know and still don't care. Those people live in something worse than an empty house. They live in an empty brain.
Well, I'm not one of them, Mr. Riley. You've given me something to think about. And I'm very grateful.
Oh, well, gee, that's fine. Well, I guess I'll be going. I'm sure glad you ain't no ghost. Of course, I ain't actually scared of ghosts because I know there ain't no ghosts. Are there?
Of course not.
But, you know, Mrs. Sherwin, it is kind of dark out in that garden, isn't it? Would you mind walking me to the gate?
The Rileys will be back in a moment. Well, I think we can all agree with Riley that none of us here at home can sit this war out. The war isn't over in Europe, the war isn't over in the South Pacific, and the war isn't over in America's kitchens. You women who have signed up for the duration to keep health-giving meals on America's tables just can't pick out the meat you want and be sure of getting it every time these days. The needs of war are bound to make the varieties and quantities your meat man has vary from day to day. So let's all make good meals out of whatever meats are on hand. And remember this, all meats, regardless of cut or kind, have the same complete, highest quality, good-eating proteins that make meat a yardstick of protein foods.
Hiya, Dumplin. Hey, I got some big news about Halloween.
Yes?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to open up a one-man recruiting outfit. I'm going to recruit Waves, Wax, Spars, and Spooks.
From October of 1944, it's been William Bendix starring in The Life of Riley with The Haunted House. In a moment, Barry Craig, confidential investigator, reminds us that ghosts don't lie in bed. As this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Barry Craig, confidential investigator, is one of the few detective radio series that had separate versions of it broadcast from both coasts. NBC produced the program from its New York studios from 1951 to 1954, then moved it to Hollywood, where it aired from 54 to 55. William Gargan, who also played the better-known television and radio detective Martin Kane, was the voice of New York private eye Barry Craig, while Ralph Bell portrayed his associate, Lieutenant Travis Rogers. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Barry Craig, confidential investigator, and Ghosts Don't Lie in Bed. From September of 1954, another classic radio program from the audio vault of yesteryear.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Murderers, by and large, probably lead very dull lives. But there's no doubt about the way most of them wind up. It's electrifying.
The The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. An office in a shabby old building on Madison Avenue isn't the ideal place to spend the summer. It isn't ideal for fall, winter, and spring either. But if you're a confidential investigator, you settle for considerably less than the ideal. When the phone rings, though, you hope. Nine times out of ten, it's only the phone company testing your reflexes. The tenth time...
Craig? Barry Craig?
Speaking.
This is Mark Reed, Barry.
Mark, I haven't heard from you.
Listen, I don't have much time. Can you get down here right away?
Well, get down where?
My house. The old tower house. It's right outside Dorning. That's upstate.
Well, I've driven through Dorning.
But don't drive. There's a train at midnight. Faster.
Well, what's my hurry?
Take that train. Tonight. Please, Barry.
But why?
I can't say any more. So long.
Mark. Mark. I've known Mark Reed for quite a few years. Nothing special. We knocked over a few beers from time to time, discussed the state of the nation, admired sports cars. I'd never figured him for an especially imaginative type. On my way over to the station, I tried to tell myself it was just a fancy way of inviting me to spend a weekend in the country. But then, why had there been terror in his voice?
Ticket, please.
Here you are.
I'm getting off at Dorning, huh?
That's right. Now, why do conductors always punch tickets and then keep them?
Well, we don't, actually. Except when the passenger is getting off at the next scheduled stop.
That's me. Well, how long before we get to Dorney?
Hour or so?
Train's kind of empty.
Late run, don't get many people.
Makes it nice, quiet, and dull.
Moon shining.
Well, who does that help?
Observation platform, back of the train.
Well, that's nice. Gives you a better view of nothing.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh?
Blonde girl back there, too. Been there ever since we pulled out of the city.
Our conductor.
Oh, I ain't trying to promote romance. I'm a little worried about her.
Why?
The way she looked. Frightened, sort of. In fact, she stayed out there all alone for hours now.
Oh, it doesn't have to mean anything.
Oh, that's why I didn't take any official notice. But I'm still worried.
Maybe I'll go back and see if the moon looks the same from the observation platform, huh?
Well, I think that might be a good idea. Only, one thing I maybe ought to tell you.
What's that?
She was carrying her ticket in her handbag. When she opened it to get the ticket, I noticed she was carrying something else in that handbag.
What?
A gun.
An observation platform sort of go together, especially when there's a moon around. A blonde and a gun or something else again. Something not nearly so nice. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't move. Don't come any closer to me.
Okay. You don't need a gun to keep me off.
It's pointing right at you. I know how to use it.
You might try using your brains instead.
Don't try.
I'm not trying anything. All I am is a passenger on this train.
Sure, you'd have to say that.
I never saw you before, and I'm sure you never saw me before.
I never saw the man who tried to kill me before, either.
Tried to kill you? Where?
Back in town.
But you did see him.
Well, not really. It was dark. He was in a car. He shot at me.
Well, what did the police say about it?
I didn't go to them. I had to make the train. Why am I telling you this?
I inspire confidence in small children.
I'm not a small child.
You're acting like one. If you let me reach into my breast pocket, I'll show you my credentials.
Credentials?
Yeah, my name's Craig. I'm a confidential investigator.
You get your credentials, but you be careful.
Oh, I'll be very careful. Yeah, nothing lethal about a card case, wallet. I'll dump them on a chair here, and then I'll move away. Now, you can look at them without disturbing your aim.
All right. Barry Craig.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Forget it. Now, put the gun away.
Yes.
Good. Now, what's your name?
Ruth Adams.
How do you do? And why would anyone be taking pot shots at you?
I don't know.
Any attempts on you before tonight?
No.
Well, what's special about tonight? This train trip?
Maybe. I've never gone up before.
Gone up to where?
Dawning.
The girl was small, but not skim. She was pleasant to look at, or would have been had she not been suffering from complete panic. The fact that she was getting off at Dawning might have been a coincidence. I found out back in the club car. Another drink?
No, thanks. I feel a lot better already.
Fine. Now, you're getting off at Dawning.
Yes.
And then you're going on to the tower house.
Oh.
Now, don't freeze up. My knowledge isn't necessarily guilty knowledge. Or why the old tower house?
My uncle lives there. It's his house.
Mark Reed?
You know him?
Well, he's the reason I'm on this train. He phoned me, wanted me to come out immediately.
Well, I got a telegram from him. It was surprising because I hadn't seen him since I was a baby. He had a fight with my father.
And your mother was his sister?
Yes.
Is she alive?
No, she died years ago.
And your father?
Oh, he's dead, too. Oh,
don't think I'm just being nosy. I'm trying to find a pattern in... you know if your uncle has any other relatives besides yourself?
Alive? No.
Uh-huh.
Well, have you found that pattern?
The beginnings of one, maybe. The rest will have to wait until... Well, till we get to the house, which won't be long now. We got off the train. It turned out we were the only people who got off the train. Maybe because Dawning turned out to be nothing but a decaying wooden shack by the side of the tracks.
This can't be Dawning.
Well, it is. Sign on that shack says so.
Hi, folks.
Easy, Ruth. It's a cabbie.
Buggy's all ready for you, folks. Take you right into Dawning.
I'd hoped we were in Dawning.
No. This here's only the railroad station. Town's a couple of miles south.
Uh-huh. Well, lead the way.
I don't have to ask you folks which hotel you'd like to stop at. Reason is there ain't but one in Dawning.
We're not going to a hotel.
Oh, visiting friends, huh?
That's right. Mark Reed.
Reed?
Yes, at the old tower house. You know where it is?
Yeah, I know where it is. It ain't south like the town. It's north a bit. Not very far. Just walk up the road here about a mile and a half.
Well, hold on. We're hiring you to take us there.
No, you ain't.
Why not?
Well, the further I stay away from that place, the happier I am.
Well, what's wrong with it?
I don't know. I never investigated.
Well, you could be wrong.
Well, I don't want to find out, mister. Would you and the young lady like some good advice? Train's back to the city coming through in an hour. Stay here and get on it.
Well, I'm not that crazy about trains.
Well, you'll thank me for that advice someday.
Well, I'll thank you right now. We're still going to the tower house tonight. If you're afraid to drive us there, take us into Dawning. We can get another cab there or maybe rent a car.
Okay, mister. Get in.
Ruth?
Uh-huh.
I'll take you to the tower house.
Thank you.
I didn't have to make no crack about my being afraid.
But you are.
Well, maybe I am. Maybe the reason you're so brave is because you don't know what you're getting into.
I didn't know, but I didn't have to be brave about anything. I was going to visit an old friend in the country, that's all. Or was it?
Barry, I don't like this.
Well, I've been in better cabs.
There's a feeling about this trip of lights and people, Barry.
I'll take it easy. Once we get to the house, it ought to be comfortable enough. Mark's a wonderful host. And it looks like we're practically there. Well, high stone wall, gate.
This is it, folks.
Oh, that gate's open. Must lead to a private road. You can turn in and...
Now, the house is about a half a mile from the highway here.
Well?
This is where you get out.
You were hired to take us to the house.
This is as far as I go.
I could make you change your mind.
Please, Barry, don't.
Okay, let's go. How much?
$2.
Uh-huh. $2. You can keep the change.
What change?
The tip is for your courtesy and cooperation.
Think you're smart.
Get out of the cab and we'll discuss it.
You
You think you're smart.
Somebody must love him, but it must be uphill work.
Barry, I'm terrified.
Oh, come on. There's nothing to be afraid of.
No, nothing that we can see.
It wasn't too pleasant a half mile. The girl was frightened. The wind was blowing up. There'd be rain soon. The doctor's was complete, and I didn't have the beginning of an idea of what we might be walking into.
I don't like that.
The thunder?
It was so loud. Who knows what it might wake up.
No. That was only a dog.
That was a hound of the Baskervilles, and I want to go home.
The house is right up ahead on that rise. 50 yards more, and...
That dog is getting closer.
That's a pet.
Who's? Dracula's?
There he is.
He's going to jump at us.
Doesn't look vicious.
He's as big as a horse.
Oh, here, boy. Here.
He's encouraging us.
No. Easy, boy, easy. Ah, that's a fine animal. He's more afraid of us than we are of him.
We got a better reason.
Ah, he's quieting down. That's the good boy. Come on. We'll take him to the house with us.
I hope they like dogs here. That house?
It must be.
I don't like it. Looks like a tomb, and Grant never was up here, so...
Oh, it's just an old house. Architect had a lousy sense of humor.
Oh, Barry, the dog.
Well, then, well, what's the matter, boy? What's the matter?
Oh, he stopped dead. Barry, he's staring at that house as though...
As though he didn't know it, that's all. Come on, he'll follow us.
He's not following us. Well, he's running away, Barry, in panic.
Well, he's a neurotic hound, that's all. Let's stop worrying about him. Your uncle asked us to come down. The house maybe isn't pretty, but so far we haven't seen anything wrong.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barry, knock.
There's a bell pull here.
Oh.
Not exactly a happy tinkle, but...
I'm not sure for whom that bell's tolling, but I hope it's not for us.
I hope somebody answers it soon.
Somebody dressed in the latest in shrouds. I know I'm being silly, but if I weren't, I'd be screaming.
Now, you stick to being silly, while I stick to...
Maybe everybody went to the movies, huh?
Oh, you are.
Hello. I hope we haven't waked you, but... I'm Barry Craig, and this is Miss Ruth Adams.
About it.
Mr. Reed asked us down.
Who?
Mr. Reed. Mark Reed.
No, Mr. Reed, here. You better go.
Here, now, wait a minute. This is the old tower house, isn't it?
It is.
Then Mark Reed's here.
You're insane.
Now, that's my foot blocking your doorway. Now, Mark Reed's here. He owns the house. He phoned me earlier tonight, and he sent Miss Adams a telegram asking us both to come down here.
He didn't phone. Didn't send a telegram. He doesn't live here.
Well, maybe you don't know him. How long have you been?
I've been a housekeeper here for 20 years. Never heard of any Mr. Reed. No, Mr. Reed here. Go away.
You could be making an honest mistake. You better step away from the door, though. We're coming in.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.
Huh? Oh, reinforcements?
Got a gun, Barry.
The complete householder.
I have a gun, and I'm prepared to use it. Mrs. Dunn, what is all this?
Story about a Mr. Reed.
Reed?
I'll spell it for you.
That won't be needed. Why are you trying to force your way into my house?
We were invited here.
By whom?
Reed. Oh, maybe I'm getting monotonous, but it's still Reed.
That doesn't explain your presence on my doorstep.
This is his home.
Fiddlesticks. I purchased this house 21 years ago. It is mine. My name is Loomis.
Barry?
I don't know. My head's starting to spin. Now, Mr. Loomis, has this house always been known as the old tower house?
It is known by that name now. Always is a long time. It has been called the old tower house ever since I've lived here.
Well, for a lead nickel, I'd buy the theory that Reed was a ghost. But ghosts don't make phone calls. They don't send telegrams.
I'm not very well acquainted with the habits of ghosts. I suggest you carry on your investigation into their customs elsewhere. I should like to shut the door.
Oh, sorry, but that rain's pretty strong now. Our cab's gone back to town. Mind our coming in and phoning for another one?
We have no phone.
Well, in that case, we'll accept your hospitality.
I haven't offered it.
You're not going to send a lady out in that rain.
Well, come in, please.
Thanks.
Mrs. Dunn, will you prepare a couple of the guest rooms for Miss...
Adams.
For Miss Adams and Mr. Craig.
Yes, Mr. Loomis.
You can wait here in this room.
We'll wait.
I don't care for guests in my house. Under the circumstances, I cannot help myself. I hope you will find your rooms comfortable, but I do not greatly care. Good night.
He's been taking lessons in how to become the perfect host.
Thanks for trying to cheer me up. It's all so strange. Barry, where is my uncle?
I don't know. Do you have the telegram with you, the one he sent?
Well, I think... No, not with me. It would be in my bag in another purse.
Oh, your bag. That reminds me. I left it outside on the doorstep. I'd better go get it before it gets drenched to the pigskin.
Come back quick.
Well, don't worry. Now, where did I put... Second time that night, I was out on Mr. Loomis's doorstep. I began to feel like little Eva heading the wrong way. Well, that didn't work. It would have to be the bells again.
Who the devil?
Oh.
You.
Me. I was getting Miss Adams' bag when the door blew shut.
Come in, come in.
Ruth. Not in the room I left her. That scream must have come from farther down the hallway. Now, what's this room?
It's the library.
Ruth! Ruth! The door's locked. Where's the key?
I don't know. Mrs. Dunn looked after the keys.
Well, there's no time. Excuse me while I try to ruin a library door.
Now, look. The library's empty.
Not exactly. On the floor near the fireplace. Ruth. Ruth's the size of a baseball on the back of her head.
She may have fallen.
Or been struck. Ruth.
He...
Here. Oh. Take it easy.
My head hurts.
It should. What happened?
Someone hit me from behind. I didn't see.
What made you come to this room?
I heard groans, and then the door was open.
Groans?
From... him.
From who?
The man in the chair near the desk. I can't look at him. He was grinning at me.
Yeah, let's get you up now. Come on. There. How's that?
I'm all right.
Fine. Now, which man in what chair?
Right there in that...
There's nobody in that chair.
Your rooms are ready.
But there was someone. A man, a middle-aged man. His eyes were staring straight ahead, and there was blood on his shirt, a lot of blood.
Now, take a deep breath. There's no hurry.
He died as I came in. I could feel the cold air of death on my skin. He grinned at me, and he died.
Oh, this girl is hysterical. This room's always kept shut.
And the windows? Boarded up. Only one door. Maybe it was your imagination, Ruth.
No. She did see something.
What?
I've lived in this part of the country all my life. That's how I know. The man she saw was the former owner of this house. He died with a bullet through his heart. In this room. In that chair.
Then I was right.
The only thing is, it all happened 80 years ago.
That slowed conversation down to nothing. I took Ruth up to her room, checked it, made sure no one would be able to get in once she locked the door behind her, and then I started out.
Barry?
Yes?
Before I realized that man in the library was dead, I touched him. And then I wiped my hands on his handkerchief. Look at it, Barry.
Okay. Yeah.
It was blood I wiped off my hands. Do ghosts who died 80 years ago still bleed?
Well, I didn't have a good answer for that. I just made sure she locked her door. I went off to my room and tried to sleep. I had my troubles. I was was glad when morning arrived, along with the eggs, bacon, and coffee. Well, it's a nice breakfast, Mrs. Dunn.
Yes, sir.
I trust you slept well, Miss Adams?
Yes, I slept well.
Yeah, good. Ah, that will be your taxi, Mr. Craig.
Oh, right on time. Glad he let us finish breakfast. You ready, Ruth?
I'm ready.
All right. Thanks for your hospitality, Mr. Loomis.
Not at all.
We'll find our own way out. Well, how do you know? Mr. Loomis was telling the truth. Let's take a taxi, huh? We got into the cab and drove away. It took a little longer for Ruth to start worrying about it than it had taken me.
Barry, the cab driver is the same one as last night.
Yes, quite a happy coincidence.
Coincidence?
Keep your voice down. No coincidence at all. Our boy up front is working dirty hand and glove with dear Mr. Loomis.
How do you know?
Oh, we found out last night there was no phone at the house. How did Loomis manage to get a cab out here so early in the morning?
Oh.
Then after he tried to frighten us away from the tower house, the cab driver stayed here.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do with that gun?
Apply the back end of it as soon as he slows up for the turn.
Like this.
I hadn't any choice. He disapproved of our low voice conversation. He was reaching for his own gun when I lent him mine, behind the ear. The car stalled, which was nice. I tied him up, dumped him at the side of the road, and went back to the old tower house.
The dog, he's crying, Barry.
Yeah, on the side of the house, at the cellar door.
Oh, he's running away.
Probably decided we're friends of Mr. Loomis. This is what he was listening to from the cellar.
That sounds like digging.
Let's go down and check.
Barry! Mr. Loomis, he's digging a hole. That body.
Ghost you saw last night. That's Mark Reed, Ruth. And what Mr. Loomis is digging is a grave. Isn't it, Mr. Loomis?
What?
No comments. Or have you been working too hard?
Get out of here.
I don't think so. Why did you murder Reed?
I didn't. He shot himself.
And you're trying to protect his good name?
Very well. I did murder Mr. Reed. A gentleman with a great deal of cash on hand. Cash he was going to leave to your charming companion.
You reel it off so well. Keep going.
I have better ideas for that money. Mark Reed became frightened of Mrs. Dunn and myself, who'd worked for him for so long. He sent for you. I tried to have the cabbie keep you from coming here, but... Well,
such frankness on your part wouldn't be wise, would it? Unless something's changed. Your voice changed quality a few moments ago. Lots of changes. What happened? Mrs. Dunn show up at the head of the stairs with a gun in her hand?
Quick, shoot!
She wasn't quick enough. Amateurs never are. They don't realize how heavy a pull you need on a trigger. Don't worry about it, Mr. Loomis. I just winged her shoulder.
I'm not worrying about it.
I should have realized that. Courtesy stops outside the death cells, doesn't it? We got them all into the cab and drove to Dawning. It was a nice jail. They're glad to welcome Mr. Loomis, Mrs. Dunn, and the cab driver. Mark Reed went elsewhere.
I wish he'd asked you to come to him earlier.
You'd have liked him, but forget it if you can.
I'll try. Barry, when we were in the cellar, Mrs. Dunn came in, but not from the outside.
From a fake door in the library is where she came. I expected her.
But how did...
You yourself told me when you went into the library, you felt a breath of cold air on your skin. But the windows were all boarded up, as I mentioned, so...
You knew there had to be another door. To the cellar, as it turned out. You know, this is a much nicer trip than the one yesterday.
Mrs. Dunn just tried to kill you then. You were traveling deeper into danger. Now about the only danger you are in, unless you get to the other side of the car...
Is, danger this notes there. Barry.
Yeah?
I got a secret.
What?
I'm not afraid.
Maybe. But I am. This week's story is called The Corpse That Couldn't Swim. That with the program you have just heard, we conclude the present Barry Craig series. We hope you have enjoyed them, and we look forward to bringing them to you again sometime in the not-too-distant future. We would like to call your attention to the fact that next week, Dragnet changes time of broadcast, and also that next week, Lux Radio Theater joins the NBC network on Tuesday night for your better listening pleasure. Consult your local newspaper for the time of broadcast of the Lux Radio Theater over this NBC radio station.
From September of 1954, it's been Barry Craig, confidential investigator with Ghosts Don't Lie in Bed. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Remember radio? We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you, sodio, volio, dodio, do.
Preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions. All rights reserved. KSSR DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.